This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine every Saturday 10 till 12.
I want to touch on palliative care and assisted dying and how they interact.
And you know, I still haven't made up my mind on this.
No, look, I think
I kind of flip-flop a bit. You know, I watched my mother die in just the most awful circumstances of lung cancer because she'd smoked all her life. And yet I'm chair of the Royal Melbourne and I watch the work that our palliative care teams do and I'm just in awe of what they do every day of their lives. So I'm a bit of a flip-flopper on this. And there are some days when I think, well, people should have the right to choose, and other days when I say, well, you just need to be careful about this. It can be that slippery slope.
I've had a careful read of the proposed legislation, and I think there's a lot of safeguards.
That's true. I've never seen more. You know, there's just check after check after balance, but nevertheless, there's still the propensity for people to come back, as they have in other countries, to say, well, now we would like this included or that excluded.
Yes, but that's a bit like the marriage equality argument, you know, that who is that stupid ex-Liberal Corey Bernardi, you know, talked about us wanting to marry sheep or something.
You've got to just ignore the views of the loopies, you know.
I think it's the same with this, that people, you know, will come back and say, well, now we want to do this, where this legislation is going to come up in the Parliament. The legislation is what is going to be debated. And sure, over time, it might change. But we need to focus on what the legislation says and what the safeguards are, rather than what some loopies might decide.
Yeah, absolutely. But as I say, I think I can see strong arguments both ways. And, you know, it's one of those things where I'm kind of glad I'm not in the Parliament anymore because you have to make up your mind.
So are we.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're much better. No,
I know you mean that kindly.
You're much better as Lord Mayor.
Oh, yeah, good save. Yeah.
What do you reckon, Chris, on assisted dying? What's your...
I don't know. I haven't given it a whole lot of thought. I've never experienced... all my grandparents died kind of quickly, easily, so I never had to watch it or experience. It's one of those things, though, that I think that people need to... It's such a personal decision, and it's one of those things that I think people should have the right to choose on. Like, it's one of those things I don't think that should necessarily be legislated against.
Like, I mean, the reality is it goes on now.
That's true.
And, yeah. You know, doctors are in an incredibly difficult situation with this. But, you know, there are people that make conscious decisions. Their families acknowledge and ultimately accept that decision and allow it to happen. So it goes on now. Mm. What there needs to be a bit of structure around it and some hard and fast rules.
Yeah, that's a terrible argument, Macca, to be honest. It's a terrible argument. There are lots of things that go on now that shouldn't be legalised. You know, sexual harassment. Yeah, it goes on now in lots of workplaces. I'm sorry, I just don't accept the it goes on now argument.
Sexual harassment is not a human right.
No. But
dying with dignity should be.
But hang on, that's a different argument. You're now talking about whether it's a right or not, not whether it goes on or not. The fact that it's a widespread practice doesn't mean that you therefore regularise and legalise it. Mm. And look, there is a strong argument that is made that, you know, we're talking about human life here, you know, and that's a really difficult area. And you'd hate to think that anybody was in the position where they thought they would have to sign their life away for the sake of their families or the health system or something else. Look, I'll be interested because I'll listen to Jill Hennessy. She talks good sense, Jill, and she's a good health minister in my view. So, you know, she'll have a very eloquent argument about it. But look, I think when you take these steps, you almost should have some unease as you take them.
Of course.
Because you know, otherwise you're not giving it the consideration that it deserves. But as I say, I've watched the palliative care teams at work at the Royal Melbourne Hospital, and they do remarkable work.
Mm.
And look, you know, the point you make is right. And let's be blunt. There's a very fine line between assisted dying and having someone made comfortable at the end of their life
yes.
through administration of drugs.
Yeah.
Very fine line.
Yeah. I agree. Marriage equality.
We've never talked about that before on this
no,
show.
No, I know. Look, it's actually
it's a fresh
first
topic for
it's
us.
The first time it's ever been on Joy. Marriage equality. There's...
What was that bell for?
That was to ring a change of tone.
That was to ring a change of tone.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that sentence means. I recognise the words, but when you put them all in a single sentence, I don't know what it means.
It's joy. It could mean anything.
It could, yes. Over Fei-Fei.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of, and I've been in New Zealand the last week, but there's been a lot of debate and a lot of media on...
That set relations back a decade or so, hasn't it?
No. Well, it was so bad the leader of the Labor Party had to resign.
I know. I saw that.
But...
By the way, did you see the interview with the new leader of the Labor Party? How bad was that?
I know.
So here's this smart, you know, serious politician. The first thing they ask her is about having children.
Yeah.
I mean, for goodness sake.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty pathetic, isn't it?
Yes.
Pretty
yes,
it pathetic. So when we come back, I want to talk about five Liberal MPs are rumoured, are considering, possibly... crossing the floor if a private member's bill is introduced.
They won't do it.
That won't happen?
No.
Because it'll destroy the government, won't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's in such good shape anyway.
Yeah. I think it's all going very smoothly up there for Malcolm, don't you?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say a swear word. A New Zealander asked me, they said, Malcolm Turnbull's job as Prime Minister, he's faced with a buffet that is laden down with shit sandwiches. He's trying to clean it up, but no one told the kitchen to stop sending him out. Do you like that?
Not really.
No.
It's a mess at the moment, isn't it? And the worst thing is, and I know we need to go to a break soon, but the fact that we've descended into arguments about how we should achieve this just depresses me so much.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and... look, I don't see a way through it, and I'm happy to talk about that later. It's a very, very difficult issue. And unfortunately, the issue, which is so important, has got caught up in the politics.
Yes,
And that's disaster.
Yeah. And, of course, if there was a postal plebiscite, imagine entrusting that to Australia Post.
It's all going very well, isn't it?
At all. We're going to talk about marriage equality. Chris.
Well, I don't have too much to say about it, but I think Robert Dolly Doyle has a lot to say about it.
Good
so there's a lot of talk
thanks,
at
Chris,
the moment.
Drop me in it. Beautifully done, mate.
only because I know you're very passionate about it, and I think, yeah, you've asked for some time to talk about it. So let's go. Let's just get into it. What have you got to say?
Well, we've said it before on this program. I'm actually quite proud that I was the first conservative politician in Australia to come out in favour of marriage equality, which I did. I looked it up, Macca, it's back in about 2012. Mm. So if I feel tired talking about it now, I can't imagine how our listeners and you guys feel about talking about it, because you've been at it for longer than me. I did an event this week with the remarkable Angie Green, stand-up events, and Angie gathered a very motley crew, a little porky Lord Mayor, some gigantic footballers, a bachelor... You know, so we had them all there, and that was just to basically make the point about equality, that we believe in marriage equality, and we want the government, whatever method they use, to just get on with it and do it. And look, I said before, I'm really depressed that the argument has now descended into the means by which we will decide. And I think that's a retrograde step. But look, I think you have to understand the politics. You know, these days, if you promise that you will do something at an election, the public hold you to that.
Mm.
You've got to fulfil your promises. And that's, I think, what's missing in this debate. So there's a bit of mischief around whether we have a plebiscite or a postal plebiscite, for goodness sake, or a parliamentary vote. And I worry that this has now gone so far politically that it's going to be very difficult to get a methodology that both sides agree on and then not carp about. And that's bad. Look, the one thing that we should say is it is going to happen, and it will happen sooner rather than later. But at the moment, this sort of to-ing and fro-ing about the methodology of decision-making is depressing, as I've said.
Why? Why is it taking so long? Like, across the world, it is happening. Yeah. Why in Australia, which is a progressive country, and I know it's probably been asked, but it just, I still can't get my head around why in such a progressive, modern country, it is taking us so long. And it's depressing. It's just like banging your head against the wall at the moment.
Yeah, look, it is, but don't forget that you have to take the Australian public with you. That's the hard thing. And sometimes in inner Melbourne and inner Sydney, we have a different type of conversation than they have in other parts of Australia. So you want people feeling comfortable with this. Look, I was in New Zealand a couple of weeks ago too, Macca. I was in Auckland for a day for a conference there, paid for by them.
Mine was paid for.
So I see junket lighting up.
Mine was paid for as well by the FIA. Don't worry about that.
That's good. And the bloke who picked me up at the airport, we were just chatting about those things, and he said he talked about the state of the marriage equality debate in Australia, for goodness sake. And then he said to me, his wife of, you know, sort of 20 years had fallen in love with another woman, and they had very amicably parted ways, and they'd stayed together. And he said, you know what, when we changed the laws here, he said, I woke up the next day and the sky hadn't fallen. You know, he was still heterosexual, his wife was still with her partner. And you think, yeah, well, that's right. But I would just counsel that let's not get into a debate about how we should do it. Mm. You know, let's just reaffirm the fact that it must be done and get on with that.
So if I was to ask you a prediction, Robert, a lot of people are thinking and investing a lot of hope in Monday's party meeting.
I wouldn't.
That there'll be some magic pudding that's going to appear out of that?
No, I wouldn't do that. No. I wouldn't invest a lot of hope in that because I think people will be disappointed. I think it'll be quite a divisive party meeting. I think there'll be lots of games played. I doubt that there'll be a resolution. I think it will probably come down to a political discussion about the fact that a plebiscite was promised. A plebiscite is what should be delivered. It's been rejected once, as we know, by the Senate. If we'd got on with it then, it'd be all over Red Rover by now. But it's as I said, now political issues come into play. So going back on a promise you made at an election, which you won, is a very hard thing for political parties to do.
Even though you've delivered on that in putting up legislation, the legislation was defeated. Surely that expunges the promise? You don't think so?
Well, look, it will depend on whether there is any goodwill to actually move away from the policy position of the party, which is a plebiscite.
Yeah.
And I don't know that is the case. You're already starting to see some internal games being played, the five so-called people who will cross the floor. Well, that's a big step to sort of name and shame your own colleagues, you know, because what they're saying is you are now acting against party policy because the party policy is a plebiscite. Doesn't matter whether you like that or don't like it. That's what the policy is. That's what the Prime Minister promised when he went to the last election. And as I say, it doesn't matter whether that's marriage equality or Skyrail. You know, or level crossings or whatever. You know, these days you must fulfil the promises you take to an election.
There are four Labor MPs in the lower house in Canberra that most likely will vote against marriage equality.
And that's their right. I've said all the way through here, Macca, and we've talked about this. This is going to be a fraught debate. But it must be a respectful one, and you must actually respect that other people will have a difference of opinion for whatever reason. And I do that. It doesn't worry me that people have a difference of opinion. I'm absolutely confident the Australian people will decide to do the right thing and not to exclude, you know, whole groups of people from something. Look, I had a bit of a tear in the eye when Angie Green, who is just a ripper, who's been on your show, of course.
Yes.
And she said that she has two brothers, and of the three of them, only two are free to marry the person that they love. Mm. And I thought to myself, yeah, that cuts pretty deep into a family, doesn't it?
It does.
And good on her for the work that she's doing. But at the moment, it's like we're in this death roll, you know, this crocodile death roll. Mm. And it is agony. But look, the thing I think, the joy that we should offer is we will get there. Yeah. You know, I have no doubt about that in the world. We will get there. But I want to keep it respectful. And, you know, at the end of it, you've got to look each other in the eye, the people who vote for it or against it, and go on working together. That's all there is to it.
Of course.
You know, it's... You know, look, one of the things that gives me really great pleasure, is that we have a relationship register at Town Hall.
Yes. Yes.
And of course, many same-sex couples choose to express their partnership through that very formal document and process. And I feel a great sense of pride when I sign those relationship register letters to officially register not just same-sex relationships, but certainly quite a lot of same-sex relationships. And it's one of the great things you get to do as mayor.
I didn't see that you were tweeting or messaging. Thanks, Mr. Dore. Your logic is refreshing. I didn't see you send that.
Yeah, thank you.
No, I agree with it. I agree. Politicians break promises and lie all the time. It's just called spin. That was from another listener.
Yeah, but it's look, I accept that, and that's the common view. Mm. And that's exactly the reason why it's so hard to go back on a promise that you've made in an election, because that is the general view of politicians. And to do that, then it doesn't become about marriage equality. It becomes about exactly that sentiment. Yeah. And that's what we're fighting here.
So it's going to be a long time before we see a marriage between Margaret Court and Pauline Hanson.
Oh, it's a marriage made in heaven, isn't it?
It would be, wouldn't it?
you've just put a picture into my brain that I will not be able... Compared to my sore back, that now recedes into nothingness, given the pain you've just given me.
I want you to imagine, Robert.
No, I refuse. My mind is a blank. I'm sorry.
When it does become law.
Yep.
Do you know something?
I'd almost think about becoming a celebrant just so that I could do those ceremonies at Town Hall. I really would.
Yeah. Well, you know, next week we actually have a guest on the show with Neil Mitchell, a celebrant.
Yep.
And he actually made some videos many years ago about marriage equality when John Howard was leader of the government, Prime Minister, and Mark Latham was leader of the Labor Party when the Marriage Act was changed. He did some videos, and I was involved in these. And we're going to talk about those, because the scene doesn't change, only the actors. But the interesting thing is that he's a celebrant, but he can't be a celebrant. You know why? Because he refuses to marry opposite-sex couples. So he's not allowed... He's as a celebrant.
Sorry, he refuses to marry opposite sex couples. What does that mean?
Well, he's the registrar has said, he's publicly said that he will not marry opposite sex couples. So he's taking a contrary stand.
So he won't marry heterosexual couples.
Correct.
Okay.
Until the law has changed to allow.
He's got a pretty skinny business, isn't he? Yeah. Because it kind of rules out chunk of the audience, I would have thought.
But we're going to be.
That's honourable, but could I suggest it's like a butcher saying, look, I'm only going to deal with vegetarians.
Yeah, you know? Yes, that's right. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, well.
I knew you'd love that. Don't laugh.
Well, once I worked out what you were talking about, I mean, you know, honestly.
Don't laugh too much, it'll hurt your back.
Oh, no, my back's fine. I keep thinking about Pauline Hanson and Margaret Court, but my back is nothing. It's nothing.
Quickly on the City of Melbourne.
Yes.
We have touched on the bollards before. How's that coming along? Is it?
Oh, look, the rollout will continue. Yeah? I mean, the next place you'll see these ugly concrete ones is along Olympic Boulevard there, down outside the Margaret Court Arena.
Oh, along Pauline Hanson Drive.
Yes, Pauline Hanson Way. So that's where you'll see them. Look, we're doing a lot of work at the moment around where can we put in things like flower beds that are reinforced, or street furniture.
Medical marijuana.
Something like that. Not so that they're bollards. I even had some people come to me yesterday and... they've got quite an ingenious scheme where they have sleeves that go over the top of those silver bullet type bollards. So you can turn them into, you know, seats where you sort of stand, you know, like you stand in the trams, or flower boxes. So we're getting through thinking about what should go where. But I think we've worked out now that the places that need to be reinforced, the sooner we get rid of these ugly concrete things, the better. They can go back to Harry the Hirer with my blessing. But unfortunately, you will see a greater preponderance of bollards throughout our city, although I hope I'll make them as inconspicuous as possible.
We need to think up a new name for them, don't we?
Bollard.
Bollard.
It's a great word, isn't it?
It is.
I'm sick of it.
It is.
Sick of that word.
Yes.
But, yeah, look, it's just, I'm afraid it is kind of a sign of the times. But you know, I know now more about bollards than I ever wanted to know. So, for instance, one thing you can do is you don't need a terribly strong one. You can use the sort of heritage green ones that you might see around the place, like outside Flinders Street, but you connect them underground with a kind of steel mesh, so that when you hit one, you're actually hitting them all. They all drag. Yeah. Yeah. So there are lots of ways you can sort of minimise the impact of a bollard itself. But there'll be different treatments in different parts. You'll see some flower beds. You'll see some of those silver bullet types. You'll see some of the heritage style ones. But as I say, we'll try to make them as unobtrusive as possible. But unfortunately, that is now the city we live in.
Palliative care and assisted dying.
Yeah,
I see that the two are, I'm searching for a better word than complementary, but I think that...
Well, if you have assisted dying, and you'd have to presume, given the legislation that's before the Parliament, we probably will have assisted dying, that doesn't mean that you don't have palliative care. You've got to have both. They've got to coexist in our health system.
So we're just trying to get Dr. Michael Barbato on the phone.
By the way, do you know the word... The word palliative, do you know where it comes from?
No.
How's your Latin?
Not good. I was an Anglican.
Okay, well, so am I, but my Latin's pretty good. It comes from the Latin pallium, a cloak.
Ah.
And isn't that a lovely idea? It's the idea
a
that
cloak,
it, it wraps around you and cares for you. And that's where palliative comes from.
Now, you're on the board of the Royal Melbourne.
I'm the chair.
The chair. Mm. And you were talking earlier about their palliative care.
Outstanding palliative care.
Yeah. What makes it outstanding?
Look, I think the care of the nurses in particular, the fact that you can individualise it to, you know, your patients. These are very skilled, very compassionate, you know, very able people. And they deal not just, of course, with the patient, but with the wider family as well, because it's difficult for everybody. And I take my hat off to them. It's, you know, when you think about it, they come to work every day to deal with the dying.
Mm.
And that's actually quite contrary to what the rest of the hospital does. You know, you come to work every day to stop people from dying or to, you know, prevent harm. Not that they come to do harm, but they do come knowing that there is an end point that they are headed towards.
And could I say it's also about improving the quality of people's lives.
Yes, end-of-life care. Yeah,
through medicine.
Absolutely.
But, you know, end-of-life care. I mean, I've had, you know, in my family, some people that have been in palliative care and some that have had some assistance.
Yeah. And look, I think that's a pretty open secret in the health system overall. I wouldn't want to, you know, go too far down that track because you wouldn't want people to think that that's what happens because it's not.
Oh, no, it's...
It's a remarkable thing that there are these people who choose this area of medicine in which to work. They are not depressed or down. They're quite joyful people, but they're dealing with a very serious end of medicine.
Mm.
And, you know, the doctors and the nurses, as I say, and the allied health professionals, because sometimes it's the physiotherapy or the speech therapy that's helpful as well. But, yeah, I went through it with my mother, who was in palliative care for a long time, and the last week in particular was very, very difficult, a very painful lung cancer because of smoking. And essentially, Mum for the last 3 days didn't eat or drink, and to be honest, it was quite a relief when she went. But that end point wasn't particularly pleasant either.
Yeah, it's. I would say though, it seems to me in other parts of the world where assisted dying does exist in a legal structure, it does seem I haven't found anything so far, and I've been looking quite hard where it's been abused.
No, I think you can find that.
Yeah?
Yeah, you can, unfortunately. But, you know, there are parts of it also. You might want to ask Jill about this when she's on. My father died of, he had dementia. It was like he was having a whole lot of mini strokes in the last sort of probably 6 months of his life as he slipped away. Now, I understand that sort of illness, you are not eligible for assisted dying.
Yeah.
Because you're no longer able to make a decision that is compos mentis. So, you know, it's a funny thing, isn't it? That's a difficult and grey area. He's no less in pain or discomfort or whatever, but, you know, he's not eligible.
Let me ask you, Robert. You have a terminal disease.
Yep.
You're very, very ill. You're not going to survive it. You are not going to come out of hospital. Do you envisage there could be a situation where you might say, you've still got all your mental faculties, whether you might, not say, where you might consider your passing being assisted?
I really don't know the answer to that, Macca. I know you, Chris, you know, all of us, I love life. I love everything about it. I love the fact that, you know, you have a sharp mental acuity, so I just don't know if I could get to the point where I'd say, no, I'm going to slip away. And I would hate to think that an influencing factor on me would be that I didn't want to be a burden. That it really disturbs me. But, you know, I suppose the answer to that is yes.
Yeah.
You know, I suppose it is. I hope I don't get to that point. I'd like to, you know, I'd like to go quickly if I could. I remember one of my favourites, my ex-wife, her grandfather, Pat, loved his golf. I think he was 88. He'd played nine holes at his favourite golf club. He'd come in for a bracing gin and tonic, and he just collapsed and died right there. You know?
I'd like to drop in a restaurant after the dessert with the coffee and the port, before the bill.
Yeah. my grandmother, she lived in Hawthorne, and she was found by her neighbours, and she'd had a day out, and they found her because the TV was blaring, and when they came in, she'd put her feet up, she was watching the news, obviously, and she had a glass of wine beside her.
Sensible woman.
And I thought, that's not a bad way to go either.
Yeah.
So,
what about you, Chris? Do you envisage, or have you ever considered in this, you know, in thinking about this, that, you know, obviously at a long time into the future, and, you know, a particular set of circumstances that... I think the burden one is an interesting one, Robert, because you do think about that.
Absolutely.
It's got to be about the quality of life. So what about you, Chris? Have you ever...
Well, I think it's sad that you talk about burdens when it comes to dying, because I think what that looks at is the shift in society, because once upon a time it used to just be the... you know, older people would live with the family, their children that raised them. And it was just a part of that extended life, extended family. And now it's kind of like it has become. And that's like a societal shift.
And here's something funny, Macca. You know, I don't think I would want to die at home. I know lots of people do. But I think I would rather be in a hospital. I wouldn't want my family left with that. And look, I do think about that. Obviously, I'm a lot older than Emma, my wife.
Yeah.
I've got a 3-year-old son, and I'm 64. So he's not going to be very old when I go.
Yeah.
So that idea of a burden sort of weighs on me a little bit, that you don't want to be that, and you don't want to be remembered for being that either. So, look, you know, as I say, I'm it's one of the times so I'm a squib here. I can see good reasons for and good reasons against. I do think it's going to happen. I think now that it's in the Parliament, it will. And look, this is one of these issues that crosses political lines. You will get people in the Labor Party who feel deeply uncomfortable about it, and I think the Deputy Premier has said that. And
yes, James Molino.
Good on him for doing it. But then you get people like Jeff Kennett, who's been a proponent of assisted dying since the 1990s. I remember him back then calling it a beautiful thing. Now, there wasn't probably public support for it back then, but I suspect there probably is now. I suspect, I don't know. You'd want to know, though, that all the safeguards are there. And at least we can say that about this bill. I've never seen more hoops that you have to jump through in order to get where you are.
And look, I think that is a...
And I used to have Rodney Syme, you'd recall, who's the great, you know, campaigner for assisted dying. He lived in my electorate, and so I've had, you know, quite a number of talks with him about it. And he makes a lot of sense as well. So people have been campaigning around this for a very, very long time. But as I say, I think for most people it'll be the comfort of the safeguards will be what gets this across the line.
I agree.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.